This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. We'll take a look at your grain futures from yesterday, Tuesday, off of the Board of Trade, where corn came back to close fractionally lower. Beans closed higher on a turnaround in the middle of the day, and wheat was higher by double digits. First off, in your corn markets, they came back from being down 10 cents in the overnight session into Tuesday morning and settled with fractional losses in the front months. Profit-taking was likely to blame with the Thanksgiving holiday coming up tomorrow. Deferred contracts were higher. Double-digit gains in wheat were supportive towards corn as well. And today's ethanol report is expected to show a slight uptick in both ethanol production and stocks. The country of Turkey purchased at least 350,000 metric tons of corn in a tender yesterday, Tuesday. Chinese customs import data showed 1.14 million metric tons of corn was purchased in October and imported in October. That's well above last year. That brought the year-to-date total to 7.82 million metric ton, up 97% from a year ago and above their official TRQ of 7.2 million metric tons. Sorghum imports have totaled 4.02 million metric tons this year, nearly 4.5 times larger than in 2019. Soybean futures geared up for a turnaround Tuesday drop, but the trade or speculative funds ultimately had a different idea. Front month futures and beans were up 2 to 4 in the front months on the day. Soybean meal came to the rescue later in the session, with December up $4.60 a ton. Soybean oil was down 26 points at the close. Wednesday, today, will be the last full day of trading for this week, as the market is closed Thursday for both day and evening sessions and will be closing early on Friday. Again, beans were mostly higher after starting out the day yesterday lower. And in your wheat futures, they posted double-digit gains in the winter wheat contracts on Tuesday. Minneapolis up 8 to 8 and 3 quarters on the day. In an international tender, South Korea is looking for 80,600 metric tons of U.S. wheat with the deadline today. Monday's National Ag Statistics Service crop progress report showed a sharp 6-point drop in U.S. winter wheat ratings, and the brunt of the hit came to the hard red wheat states. Colorado fell 26 points, Texas down 13, and Oklahoma down 10 points. Kansas ratings were 8 points lower last week. So recapping again your grain futures from Tuesday, December corn was down 0.75 cents at 4.25 3/4. March corn down 0.75 cents, 4.32 1/2. May corn Tuesday was down 0.75 cents as well, 4.35 3/4. Front month January beans down 0.25 cents, 11.91 1/4. March beans up 0.75 cents, 11.93 1/4. May beans up a penny at 11.92. Wheat in Chicago, December up 12.5 at 6.11 1/4. March wheat up 13, 6.17 1/2. May wheat up 11 3/4 at 6.18 3/4. December oats up 0.25 cents, 2.87 1/2. March oats up 1.5 at 3.03 3/4. May oats up 1 3/4, 3.08 1/2. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Tuesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mostly lower on Tuesday afternoon in northern and western Illinois. Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed, 3.98 to 4.24. Soybean bids were mostly steady to 3 cents higher, 11.41 to 11.79. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down a penny at 4.06 to 4.27. Soybean bids were a penny lower at 11.62 to 12.01. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to down a penny at 3.95 to 4.44. Soybean bids were a penny lower at 11.46 to 12.09. Illinois soybean processor case soybean bids were mostly steady to 5 cents higher at 11.93 to 12.06. Basis was unchanged, up 5 at 2 over to 15 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 401.30 to 408.30 a ton, up $3.40 a ton, with basis unchanged at 3 over to 10 over the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mixed at 421 to 450, with basis steadied up 2 at 524 over the December. Illinois River barge loading elevators coated to produce corn bids mostly steadied up 2 cents, 424 to 431, with basis mixed at 2 under to 5 over the December. Soybeans ended down a penny at 1180 to 1181, with basis down one at 11 under to 10 under the January. East St. Louis Bartolome Tomatoes placed their producer corn bid steady, 451 to 453. Their soybean prices are mixed. Quotations at 1207 to 1210. Soft wheat closed up 12 cents at 620 to 621. Milo ended the day mixed at 486 to 508. And contract bids for producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 401 to 435. And soybeans were 1141 to 1180. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 416 to 436, soybeans 1173 to 1204. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 418 to 458, soybeans at 1173 to 1218. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures here on this Wednesday morning, your cattle markets closed higher, helped by the cutout market, and hogs were mixed at Tuesday's close. First off, live cattle futures posted another round of triple-digit gains Tuesday, December up $1.35. Feeder cattle futures mirrored the gains and were up $1.30 in January. Last Thursday's feeder cattle index was at 137.12, up 18 cents. Wholesale box beef prices were higher again Tuesday afternoon. Choices were up 270 at 244.30, selects up 223 at 219.71. Despite this week being short, not much cash action has taken place yet this week. The Fed Cattle Exchange has a total of 782 head listed for this morning's sale. USDA estimated Tuesday's federally inspected slaughter at 122,000 head, up 1,000 from last week and well above last year. Cattle slaughter for the week to date is at 242,000 head, up 2,000 head from last week. Your lean hog futures closed Tuesday with nearby contracts mixed. December was up 52 cents. December pork cutout futures were down 55 cents. The lean hog index for the 20th last Friday was down 31 cents at 67.83. USDA's national average base hog price was down 45 cents at 57.87 in the Tuesday afternoon report. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was down 19 cents in the Tuesday afternoon release, 77.58. And the federally inspected hog slaughter for Tuesday was again 497,000 head. The week-to-date total is 994,000 head, 24,000 more than last week and 11,000 larger than the same week in 2019. China data shows 330,000 metric tons of pork were imported in October. That's 80% above last year. That brings the calendar year total to 3.62 million metric tons, up 126%. From 1 year ago. So going back over your mostly higher livestock futures from Tuesday, live cattle for December were up $1.17 at $111.17, February live cattle up $1.05, $113.95, and April live cattle up $60, $117.15. Feeder cattle for January at Tuesday's close were up 77 cents, $138.60. March feeders closed at 85 cents higher, $138.12. April feeders gained 37 cents Tuesday, $139.35. Finally, your lean hog futures that were mixed on Tuesday had December lean hogs 35 cents higher, $65.30. February lean hogs 37 cents lower, $66.75. April lean hogs 2 cents higher at $70.22. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday, Tuesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon livestock report. Started the National Daily Direct Hog Report. Calculations are 200-pound pork carcass traded 45 cents lower in a range of 50 to 58.58 with a weighted average carcass price of 57.87. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were firm with moderate demand. Four heavy offerings, U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds, traded $28 to $34. 4 to 5 weighted $32 to $36. 5 to 6 weighted $35 to $39. And over 600 pounds, $39 to $41. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gelts country buying points were weak with moderate demand. Four moderate offerings ranged from $36 to $42. Packer receipts for barrels and gelts totaled $25,263. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 109 to 111, and on a dress basis at 171 to 172. Choice heifers live basis trade at 109 to 110, and on a dress basis at 172. from the National Daily Pork Plant. Pork trading for retail and processing cuts was dice. 414 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $77.58, which is 19 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Pork, values for choice select beef carcass were trading higher. Choice carcass $244.30, which is $2.70 higher, while select carcass $219.71, which is $2.39 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 122,000, compared to 121,000 last week, 109,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 497,000, compared to 493,000 last week, and 490,000 one year ago. That includes a livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Once again, we joined WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now for Ag News here on a Wednesday morning. President-elect Biden says he'll reverse many of President Trump's policies on day one, but reversals on trade, including China and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, may come more slowly if they do at all. Incoming National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, who backed the Obama TPP trade pact, admits Democrats overlooked the political toll of trade deals and job losses with their 2016 loss to Trump. That admission came in a Washington Post report. At the American Farm Bureau, trade advisor Dave Salmonson is also cautious in predicting President-elect Biden's TPP stance.
Yeah, we'll see. The U.S. doesn't have, of course, because we're not part of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a relationship with Vietnam and Malaysia, Thailand. I know Indonesia is a part of it. But again, all the countries, including South Korea, we already have preferential tariff relationships with.
The U.S. and Japan struck a trade deal last year that, when fully implemented, will yield duty-free or preferential tariff access to over 90% of U.S. food and farm products. Another Biden advisor in the Obama administration says the new team will probably continue to confront China as Trump did in a, quote, very clear-eyed relationship. AFB Salmonson says again that it's not clear what direction Biden will go with China.
Of course, most predominantly is how to engage with China, continue the current policies, go in a different direction. For U.S. agriculture, we certainly want the Phase 1 agreement to continue, build on that.
Biden's choice for Secretary of State Tony Blinken told the Post that the new administration will take its time figuring out China, adding that Biden's very focused on putting ourselves in a position of strength. Whether Biden can do that and produce added gains for U.S. agriculture now becomes an open question. In other ag news from Washington, three unions have announced they are endorsing Representative Marsha Fudge of Ohio for the next agricultural secretary spot. The unions are the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, the American Federation of Teachers, and the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. In a letter to President-elect Joe Biden, the three unions say Fudge has been an advocate for all workers, including meat processing workers, and she has fought attempts to increase the line speeds in meat plants. As a member of the House Ag Committee, the unions say Fudge has, quote, played a role in the recent Farm Bill reauthorization and for workers on issues important to farmers, ranchers, and the whole agricultural ecosystem. The unions say Representative Fudge has consistently shown her willingness to lend her voice to those who need theirs amplified, who listens to all sides, and who knows how to make informed and balanced decisions. They also applaud her experience as a member of the House Education and Labor Committee, which has jurisdiction over school meals and other child nutrition programs. And as we're one day away from Thanksgiving, Americans are about to enjoy a delicious Thanksgiving meal. And USDA says that taking the necessary steps towards safe food handling and sanitation will protect you and your loved ones. The USDA is offering food safety advice to help reduce foodborne illness, including on Thanksgiving Day. Quote, our data shows that consumers can reduce the likelihood of foodborne illness by focusing on good hand hygiene and other food safety practices, according to Dr. Mindy Brashears, USDA's Undersecretary for Food Safety. As home chefs around the country prepare their Thanksgiving meal, Proper hand washing and avoiding cross-contamination in the kitchen are critical to keeping your loved ones safe. The first step is likely the most obvious, which is washing your hands. Wash them before, during, and after preparing food, especially if raw meat or poultry is on the menu. Thawing a turkey should never be done on the counter or in hot water, and they must not be left at room temperature for more than 2 hours. The best method for thawing your turkey is in the refrigerator. Also, make sure to cook your stuffing outside the turkey to avoid cross-contamination risks as well. And you can chat with a live food safety expert online at ask.usda.gov for more tips. Moving on to the latest livestock news here for your Wednesday, the latest cattle on feed report from Friday shows a decline in placements and an increase in inventory. Michael Clemens shares how the data from the Department of Agriculture has impacted the livestock market.
The November Cattle on Feed report shows the number of animals on feed as of November 1st is higher than it was this time last year. The report provides monthly estimates of the number of cattle being fed for slaughter. Scott Bennett, American Farm Bureau Federation Congressional Relations Director, says the number of cattle on feed has largely followed seasonal patterns, but since August has been running above recent years' levels.
Most significantly, the report showed a total inventory of 11.97 million head on feed in the United States, with large monthly carryovers to offset a drop in placements. This is the highest November inventory since the series began in 1996.
Bennett says placements, described as new animals being placed on feed, were lower than expected.
Placements were 11% under those from a year ago and more significant than the 8.9% decrease estimated by analysts. While the placements in October of 2019 were record high, we've been running ahead of year-ago placements since April and May during the height of the pandemic.
Bennett says the near-term future will be dictated by how COVID-19 impacts the supply chain.
This report would be considered neutral to bullish. Looking into the future, the big question mark is how much a resurgence of COVID-19 affects packing capacity. While we do not anticipate it to be as challenging as it was this spring, the risk of plant closures still lingers in the air.
Find a complete analysis on the market intel page at FB.org. Michael Clements, Washington.
91% of 1,000 people surveyed across the nation say they are still shopping for groceries in person. Here are some of the other food-related things people have been up to during the pandemic, according to Brianna Ellison from the University of Illinois.
The other thing they did most often was ordering takeout from a restaurant. So we saw 63.5% of people reported ordering takeout from a restaurant in the last 2 weeks. Things that were less common were eating at a restaurant sitting indoors, eating at a restaurant sitting outdoors, and shopping for groceries online. For each of those, about a third of people reported doing them in the last 2 weeks.
Those last 2 weeks were back in September. Interestingly enough, because the survey was nationwide, a higher proportion of people here in the Midwest and the South were far more likely to eat indoors at a restaurant, although that number wasn't very big, according to Ellison.
And then when it came to eating at a restaurant and sitting outdoors, we saw the largest share of people in the Northeast region reporting doing this in the past 2 weeks.
Some other takeaways that Ellison pulled away from the survey was, first, people are generally following public health guidance, sticking to essential activities like grocery shopping and limiting non-essential things like going out to eat in restaurants. However, she says Americans are still supporting the industry by ordering takeout even if it is at a lower frequency than before the COVID-19 pandemic. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News and other related topics. Do you know an experienced certified crop advisor with a passion for soybean management? The Illinois Soybean Association is now accepting nominations for the annual Soybean Master Advisor Award presented by the ISA's Checkoff Program. Any Illinois CCA whose certification is active, is interested and involved in soybean management, and works with farmers can be nominated. This award is a part of the Illinois Soybean Association's effort to recognize certified crop advisors for contributions to Illinois soybean production. The ISA is a committed partner to the Illinois CCA program, offering multiple opportunities for crop advisors to improve their soybean management skills to be the most knowledgeable CCAs in the country. ISA also recruits experts to serve as Crop Advisor Soy Envoys each year to contribute local, timely soybean management advice and expert insights to Illinois Soybean Association's agronomic website, ilsoyadvisor.com. Award winners will be recognized during the Illinois Soybean Association's IL Soy Advisor Virtual Soybean Summit in February. To nominate a crop advisor, please provide additional information about the nominee by filling out a form. Nominations will be reviewed by a panel of soybean board members, Illinois CCA board members, and university professionals. Nominations are open until the 18th of December, and you can visit ilsoyadvisor.com to learn more and download the nomination form. In other state-related news, applications are being accepted by the Illinois Conservation Foundation for the 2021 Conservation Achievement Scholarship Program. The ICF awards the annual Conservation Achievement Scholarships to encourage the next generation of leaders to preserve and enhance the sustainable outdoor environment. Up to 4 one-time scholarships of $2,000 are given to outstanding high school seniors in Illinois who have demonstrated effective, voluntary, and long-term dedication to the preservation, protection, enhancement, and or promotion of Illinois natural resources. Applicants must be Illinois resident and a senior in an Illinois high school during the year of the scholarship award. One of the scholarships is earmarked for a qualified applicant who is a dependent of a current employee of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. Deadline to apply for the 2021 Conservation Achievement Scholarship is March 1st of next year. And moving on to our latest State of Illinois Ag weather, we join USDA Chief Ag Meteorologist Brad Rippey, who sizes up early December for the Midwest.
We're going to see a very sharp reminder of what season it actually is. I think perhaps as early as this time next week, we will see a pretty strong shot of cold air coming in. And then right behind that, the first week in December, there is some early potential that we could see a very slow-moving, cold, wet snowstorm developing across the Midwest. It looks like a cutoff low, and in weather jargon, that means that there's not going to be a whole lot of steering currents with this system, a very slow mover. So about the middle of next week, as we get beyond Thanksgiving and into December, keep an eye out for that. You know, computers don't do too well 10 days out, but there are certainly some signs that we could see a very interesting storm shaping up in early December for the Midwest, right behind that cold outbreak at the end of November, early December.
Again, that was USDA Ag Meteorologist Brad Rippey. In local ag news now for your Wednesday, don't forget that the U of I Extension here locally in Montgomery County will be offering a three-part series that Extension educators will be offering practical tips to help you and your family enjoy this special time of year without the fuss. The free online webinars begin on December 1st at 6:30 and continue the next two Tuesdays after that on the 8th and 15th. You can register online at go.illinois.edu/holidays, and if you need reasonable accommodations to participate in the programs, you can contact the Montgomery County Extension Office at 532-3941. The webinar includes Jolly Good Cooking for the Holidays, which includes substitutes, swaps, and seasonal greetings, balanced extra calories through the holidays, and making a list and checking it twice. Again, these three webinars begin next Tuesday, December 1st at 6:30 and continue on the 8th and 15th. To learn more information or to register, call 532-3941. And in other news from our local U of I Extension Unit 18, Andrew Holsinger, horticulture educator serving Christian, Jersey, Macoupin, and Montgomery County, was honored by the U of I Extension for his innovative use of technology to expand programmic reach. Holsinger received the Excellence in Technology Award in recognition of his video production work, including the addition of closed captioning to video uploads on the Horticulture YouTube channel. He has been instrumental in introducing various technology platforms to the horticulture team during the transition to remote work. Holzinger provides horticultural education for gardeners of all ages and skill level. He offers expertise in pruning techniques, plant identification, fruit trees, and using technological methods for teaching. Additionally, he is responsible for offering leadership to the training and education needs of the Master Gardener program in the 4-county area. Holzinger is a member of the Illinois Extension Agricultural Association, the National Association of County Agricultural Agents, and the American Horticultural Society. And that wraps up your Ag News here on a Wednesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. And remember to check out our Facebook page, WSMI Agriculture. So again, for this Wednesday morning, November 25th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.